Number 44 in the back. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Could we sing hymn number 44? In a mysterious way, his wonders to perform, he plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the Father, we thank thee, we can call thee our God and our Father and have a great confidence in thee as to the details of our lives. We ask thee to bless thy precious word this morning as we open it for a moment. We ask, Father, for the glory of the Lord Jesus and for the blessing of thy dear people. We pray. In our Lord Jesus' precious name. Well, you know, we hear things and they're undeniably true that we need to be occupied with Christ. And yet, if we have our eyes and our ears open, as we read the Word of God, you will be... I don't know, you shouldn't be, but you will be pleasantly surprised that Christ is occupied with you. And there is much in the Word of God to encourage us that every moment of your life, Christ is occupied with you. And he doesn't want you to be unaware of that either, and he would like you to enjoy that. I'm thinking of that verse in Romans 8, you know, we all know it. All things work together for good to them that love God. The hymn writer put, the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. I'd like to look at two men this morning briefly who had hopes in their lives, and they took actions to improve the quality of their life, and it didn't work that way. Momentarily, the bud was bitter for both of those men, and they couldn't improve their life, and they couldn't enjoy God's ways with them until they brought Christ into their own circumstances. And it's true with us. We busy ourselves with things that we hope will bring us happiness, and oftentimes we find that what our expectations were for what we did, it didn't turn out that way. Let's turn to the book of Philemon. And that is the book that has these two men in it. And I enjoy the book of Philemon. It's a small book, but it's been a blessing to me in my own life in different ways. But this morning I want to look at it as it relates to your life and my life, all of our lives, because all of us have invested in things in one way or another that have turned out to be not exactly as profitable as we had anticipated. And that's the story here. Philemon and Onesimus, you know the story. Onesimus, his name means unprofitable, I'm told. And yet Philemon had invested in this man one way or another. He either purchased him as a slave with the hopes that Onesimus would improve his life quality, help him through this world, or else he maybe could have been a homeborn slave, but in either way he would have had not only a financial investment in him, but probably other investments too, training or whatever, to make Onesimus profitable. But right up front, they tell me that's what his name means, unprofitable. But Philemon thought, no, he will be. I will acquire him as a servant or homeborn, whatever. I will train him. He's going to be profitable to me. And I think of, in my life, observation, one of the most devastating investments that I have personally seen is when a young person, a Christian young person, is taken up with an unsaved person, and sometimes they're very, very attractive too. And right up front, God says, this is unprofitable. And the Lord never leads us into something that's going to hurt us, but sometimes he allows us to have our way, because we're so confident. You know, some even recently, I thought, Lord, what makes me think I'm so much more sure that what I want is going to be profitable for me, and you don't seem to think so. Well, sometimes he says, okay, you get it. You know, one time I had this old tractor. So the crank start, first time I tried to start, I almost broke my arm. My neighbor taught me how to start it. Then I saw a shiny red bar mall, and I said, that's just what I need, that's perfection. So I was pretty sure the Lord didn't want me to have it, so I didn't bring him into it, and I bought it, brought it home, and I looked beyond the shiny red paint, and I saw this block has been welded together, it had froze up and busted, and that made me nervous, but I got on my wonderful tractor and drove it around, and steam started coming out of the radiator, and it was overheating, and by now I was repenting, beginning to believe the Lord knew better than I did as to what I really needed. And then, well, I figured I'd hook up the attachments, and the attachments wouldn't hook up, and the Lord let me repent some more, and I called the dealer, and he said, well, he came out, and he thought I just didn't know what I was doing, but I knew there was something missing, even I could tell that, and he said, no, it's the wrong attachment, I don't have it. What do you want me to do for you, Henry? I'd like you to take it home and bring me back my old tractor, and he did. The Lord lets us make messes in our lives, and sometimes he gives us a way of escape, but sometimes we have to suffer the consequences of these decisions. So it's sort of like that in Philemon and Onesimus' relationships. And so the Apostle Paul is going to write this letter to Philemon. And he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing in Christianity. It makes every brother tremble that speaks. Because we know either we're going, it's preferable that you've already been tested on what you're speaking about, but if you're not, the Lord will let you prove your own ministry. And when someone like me, who has had pretty much a life of ease, and you know, I don't know much about adversity and things, but Paul is writing as one who was a prisoner. When I went to India by myself, there were two things I had determined. One is I didn't want to get sick and go to the hospital, and the other was I didn't want to give out a tract and get arrested. They said, since I went on a visitor's visa, I didn't mind this idea. They said they might deport you, and I was ready to be deported. I've been quite happy about that. But I thought I didn't want to go to jail, because if the jail was worse than what I was seeing, I certainly didn't want to go to jail, and I didn't want to go to the hospital. But Paul was a prisoner, and we can't imagine the adverse circumstances he's writing from. But he was a qualified minister of this epistle, as he was in every epistle he wrote. You know, sometimes we like to think, you know, from the very first moments of my Christian life, I want to serve the Lord, but I didn't know the schooling that you have to go through. And that's not so much fun. But the Lord prepares his servants for what he's going to use them for. And so it's a prisoner that writes, and he says to Timothy, he says, a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother. He wasn't the only one that was acquainted with the circumstances of adversity in life, and Timothy was another one. And he brings him into it, and he says to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Now, as a young man, I I've not been saved very long. I went to a conference and Mr. C.H. Brown introduced me to Brother Paul Wilson, and it made me feel so wonderful. He put his arm around me. He said, "Brother Paul, these were older men. I was just a young man." He said, "This is a beloved young brother here in Des Moines." And that meant a lot to me. The language of this epistle and our relationships with one another. You know, you're a beloved brother. You're a beloved sister. You're needed. Your brethren look at you this way. They value you, and you are an encouragement, and you are beloved. And the apostle loves to use that word. To our beloved Appia and Archippus, fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Recently, I think it's quite possible, you know, this is a church epistle as well as to an individual. And it may be the first epistle to the Colossians. I suspicion it is. I think it could be that Philemon was from Colossae, from the fourth chapter of Colossians. It's not an original conclusion, or it's not even a conclusion, but it's a suggestion that Mr. Darby makes based on the fourth chapter of Colossians, where some of these are mentioned again. And anyway, whatever, he writes to the assembly true, and you know, there's something about our lives as believers, and particularly those of us who profess to be gathered to the Lord's name. And I have a friend, a dear friend that I walk with, and he doesn't have it, but if difficulties arise with amongst the Christians, or there's something arises that he knows isn't right, he just goes somewhere else. And we don't have that privilege. We don't have, like Brother Doug mentioned, to whom shall we go? It isn't an option. It's like that in marriage, you know. Don't even think there's any option. This is a lifelong relationship, and there's no place for you to go. And so the apostle can write to the Philippians, work out your own salvation. And that's how it is. But here, what was going to happen between Onesimus and Philemon was going to have an influence on the assembly. You know, your relationships with one another, you like the assembly, but, oh, Brother Jones, it's not going to work. If you can't get along with Brother Jones, there's going to be difficulty in the assembly. You've got to, and that's what Paul means, he says, fulfill ye my, Philippians, my joy, that ye be like-minded. There were two sisters there who, they weren't getting along too well. It was going to affect the assembly. It's the way it is. And so it's important for us to learn to get along with each other. And this was a difficult situation. This runaway slave was going to have to be sent back. And what I want to look at here is the principles of love and grace that need to operate in our hearts that will lessen and dissolve sometimes these difficult situations. But we need to learn them. And so he says in verse 3, grace to you and peace. Now those two things go together. You find them often together, grace and peace. If we learn that our relationship with God is with the God of all grace, and you'll never have peace in your life until you learn that if you're going to have a relationship with God the Father, it's going to be on the principle of grace. You want to set about earning something from God, go ahead. All you're going to earn is fear. You're not going to earn peace. So grace and peace, and he starts out that way. And he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. I'm trying to surprise and encourage in the hallway. The sister said, well, we pray for you and Agnes every night. The little boy prays for us too. And well, that makes me feel good. I came back from India and two older widow sisters, one of them, well, they both said, oh, we've been praying for you every day. And I haven't been praying for you every day. I pray for myself every day, but I wasn't praying for you every day. I did pray for them, mainly so I could say I prayed for them from India. But it's encouraging to see the importance of prayer. Someone mentioned it. Nobody knows about it but you and God. And it's such a joy when someone says, there was a brother, Mr. A.C. Brown. He had a wonderful mind. Oh, I think he remembered everything he ever saw or heard. But one day he says, I pray for you every day. I mean, that was in the days when there were, you know, three saints that we knew of gathered in the Lord's name. There was large numbers, and he had traveled all over the United States. And he remembered me, and he prayed for me every day. And he didn't just tell me that. So, Paul, in prison, thinking of it, you'd think, well, we should be praying for Paul, but no, Paul is praying for Philemon, and he's always in his prayers. Then he says, hearing of thy love, it wasn't because he was in trouble and causing trouble or in danger particularly. He says, hearing of thy love and thy faith that thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward, what's it say, all saints. You know you can't love the Lord Jesus and not love his saints. It's not possible. You love the Lord Jesus, you love his saints. And that wasn't so comforting last night, but it's true. That's the criteria for glory, is whether or not you love the Lord Jesus. But I think all of us feel deeply that drawing back and saying to the Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I mean, I was somewhat comforted. Mr. Darby writes something like this: you tell me you love the Lord Jesus as you are, you scoundrel, you don't love him at all. Well, that's true. We don't love the Lord as we ought, but we do love the Lord. And I just, you can't separate the saints from the Lord. At least don't do it. Don't do it. It'll make your relationship difficult with your brethren. We don't want to separate them. Well, we must go on. He come down, and it says about him, verse 7, we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. You ever think about that? I said to one of them, yes, your encouragement to me. Why? Well, just seeing you is an encouragement. This thing doesn't encourage me. You know, it's a pretty chair, but it doesn't encourage me. But everyone that has someone sitting in it is an encouragement to me. And so, but this Onesimus Philemon was more than that. He refreshed the saints' bowels. He didn't cause them ulcers. He was a joy, a comfort, an encouragement to the saints of God. You know, I've noticed in my life most who get in trouble and most unhappy are the people that, Scripture says the horse meets daughters. They say, give me, give me, give me. And you take that attitude in the assembly, what's in it for me? You're not going to be refreshing anyone's fault. Think of it as a place to deposit. You know, I enjoy this. I have this loved friend. He's a dearly loved brother. And he said to me the other day, I lost $250,000. Well, that's a comfort. It's a comfort. What kind of a brother are you that are comforted because your brother loses $250,000? Well, then he told me the other morning he had invested in this life insurance policy, $75,000, and his wife $100,000, and it was supposed to be one payment, it was all taken care of, you know. Got a bill the other day, I think it was $13,000, or else the company was going under and he'd end up with nothing. And Quebec, if you lose your life insurance policy, it means you probably aren't going to die. But anyway, what I'm saying is people invest and invest and invest in something with the bags with holes in it. But you invest in the assembly. It's not, it may look like it's just a bag full of holes because of the way things don't seem to turn out or prosper. No, that's not, that's a profitable investment. You think of the Apostle Paul closing his days, nothing left of what he had sent his life for. And he said, but, you know what? I know whom I have believed. And I know that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. That's a wonderful confidence to have. You know, it's difficult because you know your own failures and you know you have caused ulcers. But it's a wonderful thing to know your purpose in life and to pursue it even though it's a faulty pursuit. But you have an object in your life of concern, care, and contribution that you know Christ has a concern, care, and contribution to. And I'm talking about the church of God that Christ has loved and given himself for. So that you deposit there, it's going to be profitable. Well, we must go on. But we know the story in Onesimus. He was going to improve his circumstances in life too, and I suppose he stole some money or somehow, because Paul speaks about him owing Philemon something. He runs away and gets put in jail. You know, he didn't improve his lifestyle as long as he was the one. They tell me Grandpa Short, my dad said, my grandfather used to, and I'm named after him. I'm old Hen Short, and I can paddle my own canoe. You paddle your own canoe, and you're going over the Niagara Falls. You're not going to make it. And Onesimus, he thought he could make his way in life, and he ends up in jail. But then the Lord comes in, and by means of the Apostle Paul, Onesimus gets saved. And I believe we learn here too that Philemon, this dear one who was refreshing the bowels of his saints, he was a man who had to be saved too. And he was saved by the same instrument. I like that. Someone asked somebody, is my roughneck character, I guess, how did you get saved? He said, by the grace of God, how did you get saved? You know, that's what I mean. We all got saved by the same means. So these two master or servants, they both need to be saved by the grace of God. But down in verse 14, he says, in verse 13, I would like to keep Onesimus with me, that he might minister to me in the bonds of the gospel. But he says, without thy mind would I do nothing. You know, the Lord makes us willing to be willing. He isn't going to exact from you against your will set against him. But as we sing in that song, you know, he just made them willing to go. And sometimes the Lord brings circumstances into our lives, and quite often into some of our lives, where we just have to back away and say, Lord, I surrender. Once, you know, oh, I must close, but I want you to at least get a key to this book and read it and say, yeah, I see the difficult circumstances, even if I brought him into my life, Onesimus, or if I thought something was profitable and it hasn't turned out that way. Just look in this epistle and see the balm, the cure for that, you know, and it's here, the graces of God that come in. And I could spend more time, but I won't. Turn to Colossians 4, and we see that there, I think. Paul had wanted Philemon to give him Onesimus, and he says, verse 9, and I think this is the next epistle that Paul wrote after he wrote the book of Philemon. I think it probably is the next epistle. And he says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. Now in Philemon, he refers to Onesimus in regards to Philemon, a brother, not now a servant, but a brother, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And I think when he says in the flesh, he didn't mean he was Philemon's brother, but I suppose he was of the same race. He's probably from Colossae himself. And he's a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. I think Philemon gave up Onesimus to Paul. He said, you take him, Paul. He's profitable, but I want him to serve you now. I don't want him to serve me. Well, loved ones, if you relating right now in your life, and I'm sure you are, or you have been recently, or you will in the near future, find yourself in a circumstance that isn't proving out to be just exactly what you thought it would be, bring these principles of grace and love into your circumstance. Bring the Lord into them, and he can turn it into profitable circumstances, something profitable. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's a marriage problem or a family problem or assembly problem. The Lord can turn those things around if we submit and allow the Lord by his Spirit to work in our lives. And I'm sorry, but I look at the scriptures perhaps more lightly than I should. I wanted a dog for about 14, 15 years, and I got her. I called this, they call me a rescue, they call me house. She's off. I said, she's perfect. Well, it wasn't, but a few days later I found that even Rose had thorns on them. She's a blessing. I don't want you to think she's not. I'm looking forward to being home to see her again too. But everything in our lives, it's in all. It's not all roses, as they say, because there are thorns in those bushes too. and just bring Christ into those circumstances. Grace and peace to fill your heart, and you can joy in God. He is the God of the circumstances of your life. And, you know, like me too, we can see Paul can do that because he pretty much did the will of God. But Onesimus wasn't doing the will of God, and God turned him around, made him profitable. And the grace of God works in our lives. He can make us profitable. I shouldn't say this. When I was in the army, my sergeant, he said to me, you know, in the army, you always call by your last name. Short, you've got two left feet. I don't think he was complimenting me, you know. But the grace of God can come in and he can make you profitable. Let's yield to the grace of God. Father, bless these two, we receive the word. But, oh, our Father, we thank thee for thy precious word and its, how well it's adapted to our life circumstances. We pray for each one here this morning and ask thy blessing in our Lord's name. Amen.